We are taking every precaution here at the WNMU-TV studios in regards to the coronavirus pandemic. This week and moving forward until we hear otherwise, we'll be limiting the number of guests we have in the studio in utilizing Zoom. Next on Media Meet, we talk with State Representative Sarah Cambenzi. We're splitting the show into two segments. First, we focus on education and then discuss the closing of businesses, unemployment relief, and the economy. Welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. Things will look a little different during today's show, but it's the same in-depth coverage you've come to expect. I want to welcome today's guests in the studio here at WNMU, State Representative Sarah Cambenzi, and via Zoom, Marquette Superintendent Bill Saunders and Negaunee Superintendent Dan Skews. Also, later in the program, we'll be joined by Marquette business owner Bill Dignite and Munising business owner Tom Dulaski. Thank you all for joining us. I know it's been a busy week for all of you. Let's first start with Representative Cambenzi. Governor Whitmer has made a number of executive orders in the past couple of weeks, closing schools, businesses, expanding unemployment, declaring a state of emergency, calling on the National Guard. Talk about the mood in Lansing and what that process has been like for all of you.
I think even for state legislators, we weren't sure where this was going to go. It is a play-by-play, minute-by-minute, day-by-day, even hour-by-hour, where we're getting updates, we're coming back together, talking in small groups, what do we think the best solution is for certain situations, and going from there. You know, certainly we're very cognizant of not doing too much harm to the economy, but the main thing that we're driven by is that our system, our healthcare system, should we have a major epidemic or an outbreak in any one region, isn't set up right now with ventilators to handle that situation. And that's why we have everyone quarantined, asking them to stay home if they don't need to go into work, to stay with their families, simply so we can get a handle on this. And then in 2 weeks, we're gonna reassess and, you know, maybe we can lift some of those. But right now, we really wanna make sure that we don't have those major outbreaks like we've seen in Italy.
Sure. And I know you recently, you all got to speak with the governor on a conference call. Yeah. What was her message for you there?
I think she's grateful that people are taking it seriously. I mean, this isn't something that either side is doing for politics. This is something that really, when we look at, you know, what can our healthcare systems handle? What do we know about the virus? Which this is another one of those super bugs that we don't have a lot of background or research on. We need to take those precautions, and I think we've done a great job up to this point of making sure that our cases don't spike and that we're being responsible.
Sure. And I know President Trump, he recently criticized Governor Whitmer for her response to what's happening. Thoughts on that?
You know, I think I'm with the governor on this one. There's no time to really get into fighting, arguing about it. I mean, her focus is on the people of this state and what's best for them. And that's where all of us are falling in line behind her. I mean, it really is something that we just want to take the precautions. And again, if we feel like we can let up on some of these executive orders, absolutely we will. If we need to extend them, we will. We're prepared to extend unemployment. We're prepared to make sure that small businesses are protective and have some loans and grants in place so that they don't go under and that they survive.
Sure. Specifically talk about the order to close K-12 schools until April 5th. We've heard the governor talk about what a hard decision that was, how heavy it weighs on her shoulders because of the impact on families. Obviously, something that didn't come lightly. What was the discussion among all of you?
You know, this was one before we knew about what this virus was going to do in terms of, the most vulnerable populations. Obviously, our kids are always interacting, playing together, touching each other. We wanted to make sure that that population was protected, but also a lot of our students go home, they see grandparents, they see older populations. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that we didn't bring them together if we didn't need to was the major priority. But also looking at, you know, what does this do to our superintendents? What does it do to our hourly employees? What does it do for testing and students that are graduating? And yeah. I mean, a whole slew of things came after that. But right now, I think day by day, week by week, we just want to make sure that until we get a handle on the virus, that we actually have people at home and isolated as much as possible.
And we are through the first week of that order. And something that's really struck me is just the way that all of the communities, especially across the Upper Peninsula, have really gotten together to help one another to make sure that, you know, kids that rely on those meals, on that time, that they're helped out. Was that surprising to you? I think we all kind of expected to see that.
We expected it, but the amount of small businesses that came forward and just said, you know, if you have students or people that need a meal, absolutely, we're going to step up and help you and give that to you. So hats off to all of our small businesses and certainly our public schools who are still serving those students with their lunch programs during this time.
Sure. And we do have Bill Saunders and Dan Skews via Zoom. So for Bill and Dan, talk to us about what that closure, getting that that order from the governor, what that was like for you.
If I can start, I would certainly say that I think that was absolutely the right call to close school. Having about 3,300 students that we do here in Marquette, we had already had students with early breaks that had dispersed all over the country that potentially could have brought the virus back to our school system, back to our community. And I think just taking that break and having folks start to quarantine a little bit certainly was in the best interest of the safety for our students and staff.
And Dan, how about for you?
Yeah, I agree with Bill. You know, it was definitely a shock when we got the call at 11 o'clock last Thursday, but without a doubt, it was the right thing to do. Like Bill had mentioned, some students had left early for spring break. We didn't know, you know, what they were exposed to. And whether we're in school or not, our number one goal is to have the students safe. That's the top priority. And whether it's with coronavirus or them within the walls of our building, we want to make sure that they're safe. And by closing school, we're ensuring that hopefully as long as they're following the quarantine guidelines that are being set.
How are you all continuing to work with teachers and what are you telling them? How are you offering words of encouragement?
Well, we're doing a lot of what we're doing right now, a lot of Zoom meetings. We're not asking teachers, of course, to come into the buildings to meet. We're meeting with building principals. We're using that as an outlet to get information out to teachers. Right now, we just don't have a lot of information. We're kind of in a waiting game, and it's tough to live in a world of unknowns, but we're all, you know, learning to adapt to that. You know, right now, Bill and I, as superintendents, are talking quite a bit on different options. Depending on what to expect. We don't know if the closure will be extended a few weeks, if it will be extended for the rest of the school year, and if it is for the rest of the school year, how are we going to handle educating our students?
And Bill, what about students and parents? Are you what kind of message are you putting out there as they watch the headlines and kind of wait and see what's happening?
Sure. One, obviously, our students, our parents are living with a lot of fear and anxiety right now. So whatever we can do to bring some level of normalcy to their lives, to their households, that's, you know, first, most important for us. Even today, I had some principals in making individual phone calls, reaching out as folks are becoming more and more isolated. We're trying to build that social connectivity to make sure folks are doing okay. And we're doing the same thing with students as well. A lot of Zoom meetings, a lot of informal discussions around education and other things. And we have teachers that are doing the same thing, reaching out to students, having a Zoom meeting, bringing their classes and stuff together, just to kind of have some of those normal discussions that they might normally have had we been in school.
You know, I've seen kind of a debate online about should kids continue to be educated at home, or you know, or is this a time for them to relax and just kind of be a kid and play? Any thoughts towards that? Should there be some sort of structure in place for your students?
Well, I think students want structure. You know, as much as I think they were thrilled that we were going to get a couple of days off, I think the reality is set in that they may not come back at all this school year. So what we did as administrators last Friday morning is we came up with a plan to offer some resources, online resources, for our students to stay fresh. Because if we do come back before the end of the school year, we don't want to spend a week or two reviewing what was being covered when we started the closure. So we've had our special education teachers reach out to those students as well to make sure that they are receiving accommodations if they are going to take part in those online resources. But we are hoping that students will look at those and keep their minds fresh and try to create some sort of structure, even though they're not following a bell schedule.
Bill, do you have any resources? I know there's a lot of support groups and things like that. Any place in particular that you're directing families to go?
Yeah, we've sent out a number of messages to our parents. Certainly through our website, we've listed all those resources. And long before this happened, our teachers had already been using resources, shared apps and things like that, social media platforms where they had already been connecting with students. So all those resources are still in play. And to Dan's point, we get a lot of parents that are asking for this return to normalcy to some extent as kids get a little stir crazy at home. Their social network, they're not out playing in the park with 20 or 30 other kids. So they are looking for other things outside of video games and YouTube and those things to kind of stimulate them and continue to grow academically.
And it really is nice to see all of the different resources and all the different ways to engage your student. Sarah, a lot of people are starting to wonder, though, is this going to be extended? Has there been any talk of that? Is that a discussion that's ongoing?
You know, I think that's where we just want people to know that this really is a day-by-day thing. And absolutely, as soon as we feel that we can relax some of those orders, we will. But at this point, we're still seeing a spike in the numbers as we start testing people. And we want to make sure that we don't have areas, regions where there is a big spike or a big number of cases that are positive to expose more people to it. And if people can be patient with us, I'm patient with the governor. We are trying to do everything we can to get everyone back to that normalcy. But above and beyond, we just want to make sure people are safe and that our healthcare systems are not overloaded because we simply don't have the beds and those ventilators should people need them.
And that is a big concern up here in the Upper Peninsula with all of the rural communities and rural hospitals. Ongoing conversation there. Are you working very closely with hospital officials?
Yeah, all of us in the UP as legislators are working with them so far. A lot of them are just getting the test kits. A lot of them are getting more personal protective equipment for their workers. But the biggest thing, you know, right now is who comes to work, who doesn't, who has a compromised immune system. I think there's a lot of uncertainty with workers even, you know, should I be here or should I not be here? What does that mean if we start bringing in traveling nurses? Now you're bringing in nurses from other parts of the country and possibly the world to help fill those positions. We are still working through on whether or not that's the best idea. We did leave Lansing last week with two things unfinished. One was whether or not we were going to relax the nursing qualifications and allow more travel nurses. The other was how do we make our schools whole, whether it's the days that they make up or not, or the hourly employees. You know, who pays them? How do we pay them? How do we make sure that if they're not under a contract, you know, that they still survive?
And you know, when I was putting this show together, I had an educator asked me, you know, can you talk to Sarah about what about the benchmarks that you know the state sets for students and for schools? What's going to happen if we don't meet those? Are those going to be relaxed this year? Is that something that's already been talked about? Is that further down the line, or where are we with that?
It is. Those conversations are just starting as we look at the possibility of maybe not going back to school. I mean, maybe the school year is over for the 2019-2020 year, and if it is, do we make those up? Do we try and fit them in next year? There's a lot of unanswered questions, but it is ongoing right now.
Well, Bill, Dan, I want to thank you both for joining us today. I really appreciate your time, and we wish you the best as you navigate through all of this. We are now going to turn our attention over to the business side of this and the effect that it's having. Sarah, you're going to continue with us here in the studio. And joining us now via Zoom, we have Double Trouble in Digs business owner Bill Dignight and Tom Delasky, owner of a number of businesses in Munising, including A-Burger, Rome Inn, Tracy's, Gallery Coffee Company, Hillside Party Store. These are just a few of them. Many of those businesses, they've been, you know, mandated to close their doors. Others have closed voluntarily. Bill, Tom, I guess start by just talking about what it was like for you to get that order from the governor, knowing that you had to close your doors.
I guess I'll go first. It's definitely interesting. When that order came down, I mean, I think every business owner kind of knew that something like that could definitely happen. But we really, it was definitely a large exhale of oh my gosh, what is the next steps? And then calmly assessing what you can do, how can you keep some people employed? How can you really work on getting everything accomplished and making those really, really hard decisions of, can I keep everyone right now? And how do I survive if I do have to not keep everyone? How can I have a business for them to come back to? Specifically in the entertainment world, that is pretty catastrophic what's happened, as well as in the bar restaurant industry. But it's definitely, we're trying to stay positive and just come up with as Representative Campenzi said, it's day by day, step by step, and just I'm trying to take a glasses half full mentality and just focus on what we can do moving forward.
Yeah. Tom, how about for you? What was it like when you realized that you were going to have to close some of those businesses down?
It was a reality check. Definitely a gut check for their management team. A difficult conversation with our staff because we're, you know, seasonal community. Tourist-centric, and you know, I think not unlike felt it immediately. It's not something that our staff just have to do, which is dreams with layoffs and passing out unemployment paperwork.
Representative Campenzi, you hear them talking in just this really difficult position that they're in. Understanding it, absolutely, but making these tough decisions, I'm sure you've spoken with a lot of business owners. What is the message there?
I think it's the same. There's a lot of uncertainty, fear, and certainly a lot of how do I help take care of my employees who have been loyal to me, who come in every day, help my business survive? What happens to them? So we know that this is coming from two different places. You know, the feds have a role in this, certainly to make our individuals and families whole during this time, which they're working on. They passed legislation last Saturday morning where they will be giving a stipend to each individual and family. We don't know exactly what that amount is yet, but that should help in the coming weeks. We also know that the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, which is a kind of an arm of state government, just announced a $10 million fund for grants for small businesses in which 50 employees or less, the business owners can call and get some relief money for utilities, payroll, stuff like that. There's also another $10 million in loans, and those would be low or no interest loans going out to businesses to help them float some of the bills they have and those outstanding invoices during this time. So because, you know, at the federal level, they're a little bit slower than we are at the state level, we felt it was important to get those two programs out to help our small businesses immediately for those who really need it.
Bill, what do you think about the governor's response? Have some of these initiatives, have they helped you to be able to start planning for the future at least?
Yeah, I've seen the rollout of some of those programs. We're definitely looking at the grant program, and obviously if we have to take a loan, that's the way to go. No business really wants to incur more debt, but again, we're in this scenario that we're in, and it's not like anyone wanted this to happen, so you got to just move forward. But
Yeah, I appreciate everything the state's doing. And I look forward to applying for those grants when they're, it says around April 1st is when you can actually start applying for them.
And Tom, I know not all of your businesses were mandated to close. Are you able to keep some of them open? And if so, what are you doing to make sure your staff and your customers are safe?
Correct. I watched one of the press conferences where the president had asked convenience and grocery stores to remain open, and we've done that with Hillside. Actually, we were the first station to take our fuel below $2 and try to encourage people to get out, get what they need, and then really start to fall back. It's been tough. Definitely been a difficult time.
And, you know, both of you, when you found out that schools were going to be closing and that these families that needed meals, both of you stepped up with your businesses. You created a food bank at Diggs. Tom, I know that you put together a low-cost meal for families. How important was it for you to do that, and why? Why did you do that?
I mean, the communities who supports us and takes care of us, and at the heart of our mission, my brother and Alyssa Diggs and Double Trouble, it's if we take care of their community, they're going to take care of us. So you have to help. We need to take care of our neighbors. It's the right thing to do. It's the best thing to do. So you don't want to see people struggle. And my parents always taught us that you give until it hurts and then you keep giving and hopefully it'll come back to you. So I just got to take care of our community.
And Tom, how about you? What are you doing in Munising to keep things moving forward?
Well, I echo Bill's appreciation for the customer, and it's, you know, I've had a thing in Munising. Business ownership is always hard. It comes in cycles. It's never been like this. But when it gets really difficult, I get up in the morning and I challenge myself to figure out what I can do to help. You know, just it tends to take the stress off of me. And I say, you know what, to heck with it. I got to do something. And that's what we did with A Burger, with the lunches. We've got our nonprofit that we matched lunch costs on. We had a bunch of donations come in for that. You just wake up in the morning when things are nasty and things are dark. You try to shine light on it. You try to find a way to help. And hopefully we all blink our eyes and it's July 1st and things start to clear up.
And for the families impacted by these closures, unemployment benefits, they've been extended. There's a lot of help out there for them. You mentioned some of that. And then you have communities coming forward. No one's alone in this. We're all kind of trudging along together. And I mean, we have two people here today and the measures they're taking to help one another. If there's any light in that, it's these moments where you see so much good and kindness. What have you seen as you've been talking to your constituents and moving around?
There's a lot of understanding out there. I think we as legislators didn't know what to expect. This is moving rapidly. We're making a lot of big decisions that impact families and businesses in a matter of days, sometimes hours. But people seem to understand that. They're looking out for their elderly neighbors, family members. A lot of people who would go see their parents in nursing homes are refraining from doing that, going to windows, doing online stuff. So people seem to get it. And if you look at the history of our country, I mean, this really is what makes us strong in America. And certainly in Michigan, we converted a lot of our factories over during World War II to build the things we needed to survive. And that's what we're doing today. You see the big three auto companies talking about possibly starting to make more ventilators for our hospitals. So there's a lot of things that, generations before us started and we still are carrying on today. So it's a moment of pride. And toughness, really.
Sure. And, you know, because we've never gone through anything like this, there's nothing to go back on and say, well, we need to do it like this, or we should be doing this. This is all uncharted territory. Yeah. So we're into a week of all of these closures and really a change of life for everyone. I think everyone feels some sort of an impact. Yes. Have you taken a moment, though, to kind of sit back and say, okay, this is something that we have learned from. This is a lesson. This is what we could do better next week. Right. Is there any moments like that for you?
They're short because things really haven't stopped for any of us who are elected officials, even at the local level. Lots of communication with them every day. But I think in those moments when we have a second to think about it, it's how well off were we prepared for this? I think there are things we can do better, but we're entering a new realm where some of these super bugs and the viruses, we just don't know a lot about them. And that's where we really have to trust those in the medical community to help guide us. And, you know, I don't think any of those folks ever had to really kind of sit down and think, how do I help government plan this and what is best? So there's a lot of things I think after we get through this, I know we will, where we're going to come back and kind of look at how do we plan for this better next time.
Sure. You know, there was an article on The Bridge, kind of an unofficial stance from UPERS is that the bridge should be closed. Is that even in a realm of possibility? I don't know that that's ever happened for some, but again, none of this has ever happened. Is that even something that people are talking about in Lansing?
No, I mean, you've heard people bring that out here, but I have had quite a few people reach out to me. One person in particular who, their family is in Italy, and you know, he just feels very strongly that we absolutely need to shut down our airports and our borders. And in many ways, we're working towards that. We're not there yet to make sure that we can still move people who are away home. But you know, he has a great point. What he's seen in his homeland, he wants to help prevent here. And it's certainly valid. And the governor does know about that. We were talking last night. So there are conversations happening.
Sure. And, you know, this week we also saw the entire state of California go on a stay home order. Is there talk about that happening possibly here in Lansing in the future, or in Michigan in the future?
You know, not yet. Certainly we could get to that point, but I think right now we're doing a great job of everyone kind of following what the orders are, the best practices. You know, if you don't have to go out, people aren't going out, and if you don't have to go to work, you're not. And that's helping kind of prevent a lot of the big outbreaks that we were expecting to see. So right now we're doing good. In the future, if we see more outbreaks, maybe. But again, that's not something our governor or any of us would do lightly. Sure. It's something that we're trying to respect everyone's freedom and individual means to live their lives. But certainly, we want to protect people.
Sure. And Bill and Tom, we only have a couple of minutes left. But for your customers who are so loyal and they want you to survive this and they want to help, what can they do for you during this time?
I mean, support local businesses, Diggs Gastropub, we have gift cards, Double Trouble Entertainment. We'll be doing some live streams, so just tune in and you can see some music and hopefully we can bring some joy to people's lives, but just be good to people. I think that if we take care of each other as a community, we'll get through this all right.
Tom?
Yeah, again, I echo the same thing. We've got gift cards and ways that they could help generate revenue, but my priority is on the community and the personal side. Spend time with family, encourage especially the young ones that are confused by this. I actually like to promote the unity between Sarah and Ed and the governor, leaving politics out of it, sharing with everybody that the unity, the cooperation is how we're going to get.
Absolutely. Well, that is all the time that we have for today. Bill, Tom, thank you. Representative Cambenzi, thank you for coming into the studio today. We'll certainly be following everything happening in Lansing as this all continues to unfold. I also want to thank those of you listening to Public Radio 90 and those watching. For WNMU's Media Meet, I'm Elizabeth Peterson. Stay safe, stay healthy.
The preceding program was produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, and studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.